Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? It's Dale Lippin in here with my bro host in crime, Trey Van Buskirk. And Trey, I want to ask you, what's your favorite color?
Oh, boy.
You going to hit me with a Mickey Mouse dressed like Buddy the Elf?
My favorite color is green, dude, because it's all about that money.
Oh, really? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
What are the four major food groups?
Cash, no. Lettuce.
No.
Oh, okay. What are they?
What's candy? Candy corn? Candy canes? Maple syrup.
Oh, you've noticed that I'm wearing a Buddy the Elf costume is what you're doing.
Is it a Buddy the Elf costume or is that just your normal everyday?
I'm going to be honest. The velvet up against these nips right now, got me all sorts of excited, Dale.
Is it real velvet? Is it like a crushed velvet? What is that?
Yeah, it's Amazon finest.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. Straight from the land of the rising sun.
You sir, wore your Christmas best as well. It looks like that is a custom ugly sweater you got going on.
It is a custom ugly sweater, repping my favorite collegiate team, the Maryland Terrapins. One thing you can't see on the back, I don't know if I'll be able, I'm just going to spin the chair. We'll see if you can see it or not. I'm going to take the microphone with me. Nope, hold on. Let's try it.
Punch List MMA right across the shoulder blades.
Wow. Yeah, man. You know, this was a gift from my mom. My mom, who, as you know, is one of our most devout supporters, decided she was just going to send me something in the mail. And here we are. I get an ugly sweater. And then for whatever reason, not that the Maryland Terrapins and Punch List MMA have anything to do with each other, but she thought it would be a great idea to put it on the back. And it's a gift and it's comfortable and I like it. So I'm going to wear it. And yeah, I mean, it feels good. Feels good.
You look festive. This is the last UFC of the entire year, right before Christmas. Close out the year, go out with a bang. You look fantastic. I feel fantastic. Are we ready, Dale?
Let me ask you this, cause we haven't really discussed this. Let's do some show brainstorming while the mic is hot. Is this our last show of the year?
Well, no, because we'll have a cocktail hour. We'll have a Punch List Bullshit Volume 6 for this year.
Oh, when are we doing that next week? Or are we doing that the week after?
Whenever the people want it, the people get it.
Okay, all right. We'll see what we can do as far as Christmas vacations lining up. So,
yeah,
I mean, I'm cool with whatever. I don't know if we should do back. Because after this, there's nothing until what, like January 19th or something, right?
Really?
I think there's a gap. There's a large gap.
So maybe this is where we take like 2 weeks and we like shift the culture towards like Russian ping pong or something like that.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we had what was that in 2020 where we had a couple months where there was no event and we had a show with nothing, with no UFC to talk about, no MMA as a whole to talk about, but we kept it going for 3 months, man.
Those get dangerous. Those are usually what leads to the shadow ban.
So. Right, which is crazy because we didn't get shadow banned now or then, but we have it now, which I find it absolutely hilarious that they decided to remove our John Anik video, which has been up for almost a year and coincidentally had to do with the movie Elf, which you are currently wearing. So
yeah,
I'm not really sure. Wild.
I know.
I really don't know. There's something going on, man. I don't know what it is. I don't want to give us more credit than is due, but there's something nefarious afoot.
Nefarious what? What?
Yeah.
That's not a word.
Yes, it is.
Nefarious?
Nefarious is a word.
You mean narwhal?
No, narwhal is what Buddy the Elf talked to when he was leaving the North Pole. Nefarious is like something like devious or up to no good with ill intent is nefarious.
I hope you find your dad.
Hope. Speaking of dads, I saw a great headline, which somebody wanted all the smoke, said that Juliana Pena, I'm going to paraphrase because I can't remember it word for word, but it was Juliana Pena is the first woman champion
to birth,
who had ever birthed a child. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. She said it. She said it while being interviewed with Laura Sanko. And it was kind of this like awkward, like, are we giving just due to all women? Or there's a little bit of a fine line because, you know, Amanda Nunes didn't technically birth. They were more of a Petri dish type family. So right. A little difficult.
Well, even then, Nina's the one who carried it. So it wasn't even Amanda that carried the baby.
Right.
So like the first birthing champion, which is something that Michelle Waterson has wanted for a long time, but now she won't get it. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And then Misha Tate wanted it. But Misha won her belt before she got knocked up.
So. You were the confidant on this. You were the one that I think was most truly confident on the sprinkle, but what did that go off at? 17-1, 18-1, 21-1? What did she go off here?
No. She was plus. And initially, like, I think the shock was that she was the biggest underdog ever, but she really wasn't. I think she was plus 625 at close.
Oh, but that was money line though. I'm talking submission.
Oh, I have no idea. I had no idea what that was. I didn't even look at it.
That was a shock because of all the props. That's the only one that was like a true pathway to victory was Juliana Pena by sub. I will say this. I'll die on my sword. I don't care. Nunes absolutely quit. That was not a tight submission by any means. That was called being gassed, being out of shape, ring rust, just not wanting to be there.
Plus 1600, says Omar in the chat. That's what Pena by sub was. I'll say this. I don't necessarily see this is tough for me because I don't want to take anything away from Juliana Pena because I said that she had a good chance to win the fight and she won the fight. So that makes me really happy. I just don't know necessarily how good she looked versus how bad Amanda Nunes looked. Like, Amanda Nunes looked real bad. Real bad.
I know. She looked bad.
Yeah. Omar says, can I get some love for calling Pena by sub in the live chat last week? Of course you can, man. Of course.
Yeah, that was pretty badass.
Yeah, I'll put you on the screen, too. I'll put you on the screen.
You know what was not badass, Dale, and actually took a little bit of shine? We always talk about main events, like the Charles Oliveira, and we get Conor McGregor doing the tweets and stuff like that out there. But I think the showstopper, the attention grabber that night was not Conor McGregor. It was Michael Chiesa, my friend.
No, I don't. Here's the thing is Chiesa had his little moment, but I don't think he was the show stealer. I mean, he's just a drunken idiot.
Shit-faced, jumping over, trying to get in there. Yeah. He cuts up his eye, which he later posted on Instagram that he was like crying. He was swollen. He's like, no, bro, you like cut your eye wide open, trying to go in over the banister, trying to get into the octagon. And then all of a sudden, what, you're like boyfriend, girlfriend with freaking Juliana Pena? I understand you guys are all Spokane, Washington. I understand that community's tight, but like, come on, dude.
They've been friends for years. I mean, look, you're happy to see your people win, but you got to keep things within reason. He overreacted, but he also had some of the liquid courage flowing through him. And again, Chiesa is one of those guys that kind of forgets his station sometimes where he feels like because they give him the microphone, because they allow him to participate. I think I need a drink.
Oh, no, it's because you said participate and you hate that word, participation trophies, and you almost like died.
Yeah, because they allow him to take part in the broadcast, you know, and they allow him to sit at the desk after the fights and break them down. Remember, you know, there were times where he was critiquing DC and doing all kinds of stuff. Like Chiesa at times can get a little get a little sauced up on his own juice. And
yeah,
I mean, look, he just, I'm not taking anything away from, I don't think it was the show stealer. Juliana Pena shocked the world. Good for her. Parity in the division. Like I asked for, I got what I wanted. And more importantly, Charles Oliveira, I think now to parrot a lot of what the other MMA media has said, we have to put to bed the idea of him not having any grit, because he has legitimately turned himself into a workhorse of sorts. The Chandler fight, he overcame adversity. The Poirier fight, he overcame adversity.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know that I can call him a quitter anymore.
No, he stays hard, dude. He's Goggins now. He's hard. He's hard all the time, dude. He's so hard.
I that was a good play. I mean, and we, you know, I said Oliveira. I said by submission. I feel good. Feel good about everything that happened last week, man. I will say this. One of the things that really surprised me about the Poirier-Oliveira fight was how consistently ruthless this sport can be, in the sense that anybody that's watched MMA for a prolonged period of time knows what it's like, especially if you have a favorite fighter, you know what it's like to have your heart broken. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing that the MMA gods love more than to crush dreams and rewrite destiny. And guys like Dustin Poirier, you're going to look back and go, I just don't understand how that guy was never an undisputed champ.
I know.
And then once you dig into the meat and potatoes of it, you're going to go, golly, he just literally fought every tough fight. And it was just never his time. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride. And it's just Oliveira choking him out in the third round was the most like cosmically poetic, heart-wrenching, Shakespearean, like fall on your sword kind of thing. It seemed inevitable. It really seemed inevitable, and just the way it was, bro.
I love that parallel. Not always the bridesmaid, not the bride. I don't know why I was having flashbacks of Paul Walker. Cause like for me, Paul Walker was like on his way to being the greatest actor of all time, but then he died. And it was kind of like, God, he went through all these great movies. He did such great performances. And then it never amounted to what it should have been at that moment. Gosh. You know? So I totally get what you mean. I
sit here and I try to think of something meaningful to say and put it. And then you compare what I say to Paul Walker being the greatest actor of all time.
Okay, if this is a whole Shia LaBeouf, like I'm pissed off thing, you can save it, because we all know Paul Walker was the freaking gem of all gems any Fast and Furious, Skull and Bones. I mean, dude was BJJ brown belt.
I can't take anything away from this. I can't take anything away from the Jets time. I can't take anything away from that, nor I wouldn't try. I wouldn't try to, but I just, oh man, I don't know. I feel like if I go in the ground before you, you would bring balloons to my funeral.
Well, it should be a celebration of life. For sure.
Oh my gosh. All right. Let's break down this card. We have a lot, and admittedly, this week has been a bit of an uphill climb for us. Tuesday wasn't able to work because you were at the Magic Kingdom. Yep. And then Thursday, which is today, we were supposed to start 45 minutes ago, and I had an engagement that ran over, and we've got like a 58 fight final card here and it's already 10:20, and I've got to work in the morning. And as much as I love to talk fights with you, I like to have done this. I'd like to be wrapping up the show as opposed to just starting. So can we get into this?
We can, but I need you to limit. I know this is a big deal for you tonight, and it's a massive deal that your boy Cub Swanson is on the card. And he's, I need you to just, dude, keep it together. I know you're going to come in.
He's the first fight. He's the first fight. We're going to talk about him first.
Extra toasty, but cool your freaking Jets, dude.
It's the first fight. We're going to talk about him. I'm going to use all my time right now, and then I'll just give you money line plays for the rest. I'm literally, you're about to get 38 solid minutes of Cub Swanson talk on how he's going to beat Darren Elkins. Before we get to that, though, guys, you want the best meat on the planet Earth? Go to stayclassymeats.com. Use promo code FIST and save 10%. If you haven't already done so, consider going to allegianceclothing.com, searching for the word hedge at the top, and buying the hedge shirt. We have 1 week left on the pre-order. Yeah. 1 week left on the pre-order. You can use code PUNCH. It saves you 15%. All the proceeds, literally everything. So here's the thing. We talked about it. We talked about it on the Instagram story. If you haven't, if you didn't see it, obviously Arkansas, Kentucky, Illinois, and I feel bad. I can't remember the other, the fourth state. We're all really hit hard with tornadoes in the last week. None more so than the town of Mayfield, Kentucky, and a couple other towns in Kentucky. I think it's 80 confirmed death at this point, dead at this point. There's dozens still missing. We talked about it. We decided let's send all the proceeds to the shirt from the shirt to the Red Cross in Kentucky, which, you know, we'd be happy to do. And then we're going to match it. So whatever you guys do with the shirt, Trey and I will then match that contribution. So whatever it ends up being. So then we reached out to Roy and told him we were doing that. And Roy said, all right, well, we're going to waive. We're not going to do any production costs. We're just going to make the shirts. We're going to do whatever. And then every dollar, not just profit dollar, every dollar from the shirt will then go to the Red Cross in Kentucky, and we're going to match it. So if you haven't already done so, go to allegianceclothing.com, use promo code PUNCH, save 15% on the entire thing, and know that every dollar, every cent of your purchase for the head shirt is going directly to the Red Cross in Kentucky, and then Trey and I are going to match that contribution to it as well. So I would love to send a fat check. I would love to. So we're going to do it exactly like that. So even if you know, have a cousin that doesn't listen to our show, your mom doesn't know what MMA is, you have an uncle that likes figure skating, buy him one of our shirts and we'll take care of it from there. All right.
Done deal. Done deal.
All right, let's break down this card, man. UFC Fight Night, Lewis versus Daukaus. First fight on the main card. You already know what it is. You already know, dude. Cub Swanson taking on Darren Elkins. Cub Swanson at 27-12. Darren Elkins at 26-9. Cubby's at a minus 190. Darren Elkins at a plus 155. Over on rounds is at 2.5. I'll let you go first.
Oh, dude. Look at you. I've never seen you smile so big. All right, I'll get into it real quick. Guys, plus 155. We talk about dogs that'll fight for your money. Darren Elkins, I don't care if he's a dog. I don't care if he's favorite. He's never a favorite. He's always a dog, and he always fights for your money. This is the blue-collar, hard-nosed motherfucker that's going to do whatever it takes to get it done. And what is he going to do? He's fought high-level competition as of recently. He's been a dog as of recently. He doesn't have any ring rust. He hasn't been knocked out. He has just come back from the grave and just absolutely pummeled people. Elkins does one thing great. He wears you up against the cage. He drowns you in his cardio, and he just keeps coming forward. This is the type of guy that as it gets in the later rounds, if you're live betting, take Darren Elkins in the later rounds. No one's going to erode Darren Elkins. Cub Swanson. I'm sorry, dude. I'm going to go hard in the paint, dude. I know this hurts. I'm going to rip the Band-Aid off real quick. He doesn't know how to do your favorite thing in the world, Dale. He doesn't know how to wrestle for shit. He never has known how to wrestle. He is someone that doesn't know how to negate the takedown ever. Dale, how many losses does Cub Swanson have? Does he have 11?
I think 12.
He has 11.
He's 12.
12. Oh, I'm sorry.
He's 27-12.
27-12. And I think how many of those have come by submission?
I think it's eight
as well. So Darren Elkins, who's going to be a better wrestler, has really good jiu-jitsu. What the fuck do you think he's going to do at plus 155 against an aging, knocked out, too many surgeries, palm tree tattooed Cub Swanson? He's going to drown him, submit him. I'm not just taking the plus 155 on Darren Elkins, dude. I'm taking a submission prop, and I'm going to literally make this the juiciest steak I've ever eaten. And I'm going to eat it with a smile as you watch your vet fucking die in the apex cage where legends go to die.
All right. So I'm having a little bit of a proud dad moment here. Because on paper, you absolutely nailed that fight. Normally,
thank you.
There's a bit of bias that bleeds through, in particular when it's a team alpha male guy. But in this assessment, skill for skill, I 100% agree with what you're saying. And I would actually, if Cub Swanson is not one of your top three favorite fighters of all time, I would suggest playing Darren Elkins by submission. I 100% would. I really would. But here's something that I cannot do. I cannot bet against the Cub. I won't bet against him. I took a blood oath years ago that I wouldn't bet against him, and I'm not going to violate that now. Cub Swanson knows what he doesn't do well and tailors his game to try to negate that as much as he possibly can. Some fights he's more successful than others. In the Daniel Pineda fight, we thought that Pineda was going to go out there and was going to try to wrestle him and try to use that big frame on him and wear him out. But what did he do? He went out there and tried to leg kick Cub and tried to throw hands. Ultimately was his downfall. Darren Elkins, if you look back at the Nate Landwehr fight, if you look back at any of his last really few outings, he's really kind of fell in love with the hands. The wrestling's always there, right? We can always lean back on Old Faithful. We can always go to the well and get a drink whenever we want. You're absolutely right. He can. One of the things he cannot do, though, against Cub is take his time trying to figure out whether or not he wants to wrestle or if he wants to test the hands. If I'm any of the guys at Team Alpha Male that's coaching Darren here, I'm saying we're not going to stand with Cub. Even though he's 36 years old, he still can crack. We're not going to do that. Let's just do with what we know is going to work, right? Let's try to take him down. Let's try to wear him out, and let's choke him out. Cub has had broken jaws before. Cub has had neck surgery before. If you can get a hold of his neck, he's going to tap. He doesn't play around. He's quick on the tap. He doesn't mess with it at all, right? Same thing with the ACL. Literally, he just does. Cub's very much a veteran mindset where it's like live to fight another day, right? Like he's not going to try to fight his way out of a submission anymore. Yeah. He's just going to go, I'm going to tap and then I'll fight in 6 months. Like I'm just he's not going to play around with it. The apex is where legends go to die. Like you said, both of these gentlemen are getting up there in age. So this isn't necessarily a legends fight, but it's an old timer fight. So I don't think that any one or the other is safe from a brutal loss here. I will say this. I believe that Cub is closer to retirement than Darren Elkins is. I have a feeling that like Cub is in the twilight. Like, I don't think that Cub's still entertaining the idea of let me throw three or four together and I can fight for a title anymore. I don't think he's pandering for any rematches against fights that he had lost. I really think he's got a couple more in him. He wants to put on exciting fights. He wants to get paid and he wants to get out. Darren Elkins is still fighting to pay off the house. So he's got more in him. And we talk about dogs that'll fight for your money. Darren Elkins is that. We sort of coined that phrase talking about Darren Elkins.
Yeah.
Like that's where that came from, is a dog that'll fight for your money. So I can't negate anything about what you said about Darren Elkins or the way you think this fight will play out. I can only combat it with this, is that I think Cub hits hard. And I think that Darren Elkins has really loved his hands lately. And if Cub can hit you, Cub can put you out. He also is very creative. Darren Elkins is very stiff. So it might not be Darren Elkins has a good chin when he can see the shot coming. Doesn't necessarily have a great, propensity of staying vertical if he doesn't see where the shot's coming. So if Cub wants to get spinny, Cub wants to throw some head kicks, possible he could get him out of there. I'd be really shocked. I mean, I'd be truly, genuinely shocked if Cub knocks out Darren Elkins. Darren is notorious. Has Darren Elkins ever been knocked out before? Do you know? Like, hold on a second. Let me look real quick. I don't know if he's ever been knocked out before. Ground and pound to Ricardo Lamas. And Chad Mendez knocked him out.
Ooh, that's weird. Yep. Little incest from Team Alpha Male.
Yeah, so Chad Mendez knocked him out back in 2013, and he got beat up by he got ground and pound loss to Ricardo Lamas in 2018. That's it. So in 9 losses, he's only been technically knocked out once. I mean, ground and pound, I guess you could call knockout, but it wasn't ruled a TKO. I'm going with Cub. I'm going to take Cub probably by decision. I would love to see Cub by knockout.
Mm-hmm.
So my two plays, if you're playing this, Cub by decision, Elkins by sub. And you can get, I think if you play both, you're gonna get, you know, decent return on your money one way or the other, because those prop bets have to be sky high. So
speaking of prop bets, if you're trying to get extra juicy, fighter to bleed first, just put Elkins. I swear, if the air conditioning's on in the Apex, he's gonna start bleeding. So
yeah. I will say this, nothing would break my heart more. And here's your sound clip. Nothing would break my heart more than to see Chris Tognoni referee this fight.
It can't happen. It cannot happen. But
it can happen. I'm looking at the list right here, and we're going to get into this later on. I'm looking at the bout order right now, and this is going to be either a Mark Smith or a Chris Tognoni fight.
I don't like either. I don't like either.
I like Mark Smith more than I like Chris Tognoni.
Mm-hmm.
So just throwing that out there.
I hope Cubby comes home for you, but
ill. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Diego Ferrer +155 taking on Matheus Gamrot. Gamrot's at a -185 over and around at 2.5. I like Gamrot here, man. We've been high on him since he came in. Caucus Mountain Warrior, and you know, win by Kimura over Jeremy Stevens. Beat up your boy Hot Sauce Holtzman. He lost that split decision to Kutalidze, but I had him winning that fight. So as far as I'm concerned, since the man's come to the promotion, he's done nothing but win. And I'm not going to pretend it's been anything other than that. So I like him over Diego. Diego, as you know, was on the cusp, you know, really had was like just, I don't want to say he was knocking at a title shot, but he was pretty he found himself in position for a possible, you know, maybe number one contender, maybe the fight to get to the number one contender spot, right? Yeah. Like decisive win over Kyle Nelson, decisive win over Jared Gordon, Mirbek Taisimov, and then he, you know, choking out Anthony Pettis. We were like, okay, he's right there. Then he lost to your boy Dariush. And then after that, things got real weird for him. When he got beat up by Gregor Gillespie.
Yeah.
But I mean, you already know how I feel about Gregor. So he's in an interesting spot here. Gamrot has been using his hands more, using the submission since he got into the UFC, but wrestling is his bread and butter. And I will take a high level wrestling guy over a Jits player 10 out of 10 times, man. That's just me personally. You know how I feel about wrestlers. I think Diego Ferreira here is in bad shape. I like Gamrot at -185. I really love him at that price. I'll probably use him as a parlay piece.
Unless Diego has switched camps, which I don't believe he has, but he's in a bad spot. And I say that because he's a Jits player that fell in love with his hands and completely ditched his game plan. When you look at Gamrot, yeah, he's fallen in love with his hands ever so slightly, but he still knows what's the blueprint. He still knows that he's a wrestle-heavy attack who's got good jiu-jitsu. So I think the jiu-jitsu, to a certain degree, cancels each other out. I think that Gamrot's going to have the better wrestling, which is going to give him better top position as well as clinch control. And then when you look at Diego, if he decides to just get into a grapple-heavy attack, I actually think he has an opportunity there. I don't think it's going to be by submission, but maybe he can win by points and have greater top pressure, whatever it may be. His hands have been his biggest issue. It was his biggest issue when he fought Dariush. It was his biggest issues when he fought Gregor Gillespie. He needs to go back to the old school tactics of what got Ferreira to the big show. It's a tactic that made us when our boy Drew Dober was trying to get a fight with him, made us really scared because he is deadly on the ground. That fight never came to fruition. I'm happy it didn't, because I honestly think that he's a threat on the ground. But when you're going against Gamrot, who has that foundation and who has better wrestling, you got to go with Gamrot. I'd actually go with Gamrot. Dude, wear someone out with wrestling, that would be another good submission prop, to be honest.
If you look at Gamrot's fight or fight record, eight wins by decision, 6 wins by KO, 5 by sub. So he's well-rounded. I mean, he's well-rounded. He gets it done everywhere. And I like a guy that has multiple weapons. I'll take a multiple-weapon guy over a one-weapon guy all the time. Bring a varied attack to the fight. I like it. I I think that you can take Gamrot by sub. Hell, take him by KO. Just I really like him in the spot, man. I think he presents a ton of problems for Diego.
I think it's a good inside the distance play too.
It's possible, yeah, because I think I don't think Diego beats him over three rounds.
No.
So you play inside the distance and then you give yourself plenty of opportunity for a finish on either side. That's a decent angle to take.
I like
Rafael Sunsal 27-8 taking on Ricky Simon at 18-3. Next fight on the May card. Sunsal +220. Ricky Simon at a -280. Over under rounds of 2.5. This is a tough one for me because I believe that Ricky Simone's going to win this fight. I hate that line, though. Yeah. I really hate that line. Hoffa is a fantastic fighter. And just because he's fallen on hard times lately does not mean that he is not good still. And Ricky Simon, while big, while strong, while very competitive and gamerish, he's pretty unpolished still. He's still got a lot of rough in the ashlar. Like he's yet to be refined. And a Sunsal is a grizzled, high-level veteran that's been there, done that before. And outside of like big one-punch, you know, situations Garbrandt, like Garbrandt, yeah, he's very difficult to dispatch.
Yeah.
Do I believe Ricky Simon should win this fight? Yeah, probably should. Yeah, I mean, that career trajectory, that seems to be the way they're going. But a +220 on a Sunsal seems too disrespectful to pass up. I feel like you kind of have to maybe consider playing him at that price, don't you?
Dude, I feel like, what do you think a good term would be for not a gatekeeper? I don't think Rafael Sunsal is a gatekeeper, but I think he's a gatekeeper of what is like that top tier can fight for a title type thing. He's kind of that like barometer check right there of like
what's the litmus test. He's the litmus test.
That's exactly what he is. Yeah. So I think that he is extremely well-rounded. He has a great cardio tank. I think that if you look at a Sunsal, out of his 11 or 12 wins, he's only had like two finishes. So this is a guy that can put a game plan together. He can execute through and through. Ricky Simon is someone who with the bright lights is always kind of fell short. I'll go back to, I know I've got a Cubby Swanson on the card, but I'm going to go back to my guy in Uriah Faber that knocked him clean on his ass. Dude, on the big stage in Uriah's hometown.
I knew that you were going to bring this up. As soon as I saw Ricky Simon on the card, I'm like, great, I can't wait to hear about Uriah Faber. go ahead.
Now, when the lights are brightest, he has not shown himself to be of caliber. Now, what I'm saying about Ricky Simon, though, he has the momentum. He's a wild man. He's refined his skills a little better. He's gotten a lot better with his hands. He's got that freaking Washington wrestling background. He's got good cardio. But I think when it comes to the full package at +220, you can't tell me to fade a Sunsal. I'm not going to do it. I think this goes the distance because I think both of them don't have one punch knockout power. But I think when you put a full game plan together, got to take a Sunsal +220. That's too good of a price. If this was closer to a pick'em, I'd probably side with Ricky. But the value I'm getting, as well as how well-rounded a Sunsal is, I got to take him, dude.
I know a Sunsal's on a three-fight skid, right? Lost to Marlon Moraes, lost to Corey Sandhagen, lost to Cody Garbrandt. That's who he's losing fights to, right? So if you go back to 2011, the only people that have beaten Hoffa or Rafael Sunsal are TJ Dillashaw, Marlon Moraes, Corey Sandhagen, and Cody Garbrandt. Since 2011, those are the only people that have beat him.
Insane.
I see you in the chat. Matt, I see you in the chat. Matt says, Simone by domination. Matt, I see you. But listen to what I just said. Those are the only people that have beat him since 2011, bro.
He was piecing up Garbrandt before Cody KO'd him, dude.
I'm not saying that Simone's not going to win the fight. I'm just saying the line's disrespectful, and it's worth your attention at a possible underdog play here at +220. Here's the thing, is you said that we're about to get into the ones that we're opposite on. Okay, I'm looking at the card here. All right, this is where the parody is about to come in. All right, Angela Hill at 13-10 taking on Amanda Lemos, or is it Lemos? Lemos at 10-1-1. If I'm not mistaken, is this a relatively short notice fight for Angela Hill? Right, yes. Amanda Lemos was supposed to fight Nina Nunes. Angela Hill +250 had taken on Amanda Lemos at -310 here. Over on rounds, is it 2.5? We played women's underdogs last week perfectly. I think they went 2 out of 3. Is this going to, do we have some Angela Hill action here at +250? Is she going to take down Amanda Lemos here?
+250? Take down a freaking Goliath, dude.
+250, though.
+250. Lemos is massive.
I don't care.
I'm playing. She's huge for the division.
I don't care. I'm playing her.
She absolutely cracks. She's got combinations. And Angela Hill, she's only relevant because she is the cowboy version of women's MMA. That's it. Activity. Go back to your girl, Loopy. The only reason some of these people are relevant is because of their activity. Angela Hill was relevant in 2020 because of activity. It's not because of skill set. It's not because of dominant performances. It's purely on activity. I could be the most active fighter on the planet if I'm not injured and go there and make a name for myself. That is what Angela Hill has been doing. When you have someone that's bigger, stronger, faster, cracks harder, has longer combinations, is a prospect in the UFC, younger, a more wearing style, going to come in bigger. The -310 is a little gnarly, but man, it's justified. It's so justified.
This is a lady that lost to Leslie Smith, though.
Who?
Yeah, Lemos lost to Leslie Smith.
What?
I'm just saying. The what is it? What's her thing? The Peacekeeper? Leslie the Peacekeeper Smith? The lady that got her ear punched off by Jessica Eye, your favorite fighter?
Oh, yeah.
She knocked out Amanda Lemos with standing elbows, and you want to bet her to beat Angela Hill?
Bro, standing elbows.
I'm pretty sure that's not how it went. I'm pretty sure she didn't look like a little praying mantis that was missing a chromosome. I don't believe that's the way. I don't believe that's the way that shook out. Now, I understand when we talk about salty records, we're talking about salt. We can throw Angela Hill in the mix here. And most of the women fighters that are relevant right now are pretty salty on the records. But look at who she's fought, right? A loss to Tisha Torres, but Tisha's kind of turned it around. She's one of the ones that's bounced back good from a divorce. Hold on a second.
Oh, she's not divorced with Raquel Pennington.
I think they're separated. They're living close yet far.
She's a muscle babe now. She's doing the whole
she's a muscle babe now. I think that divorced women fighters are fighting better. I think we need to recalibrate.
Oh, because of on the last
because of Cheyenne Baze, yeah.
Cheyenne Baze, yeah. Yeah. Yep. The relationship thing really freaks me out because I didn't know about the whole Cody Garbrandt separation from his chick and then wiping him or her from Instagram. And I think that's directly correlated, dude, for sure.
So dude, so we'll run the test. We'll put it through the ringer here.
Yeah.
Recently divorced, separated dudes versus recently divorced, separated women.
Yeah.
Right now, women will go with are undefeated, and dudes will go with or haven't won yet.
Right.
We'll just mark it even. All right. Anyway, Angela Hill lost Tisha Torres, beat your girl Ashley Yoder, but before that, lost to Michelle Watterson, lost to Claudia Gadelha. But she beat, and the only reason why I'm saying that is because a fight I want to bring up is she beat your girl, Loma Luke Boonmi, who is Thai box champion. Just a beast with the hands, and Angela Hill beat her. Amanda Lemos is going to try to institute the same strategy. She's going to come out and try to crack with her. Like you said, oh, she can crack. She can bang. That's what she's going to try to do with her. Angela Hill can go out there and pump that jab out and inside leg kick you to oblivion and point fight the shit out of you like it's karate.
Yeah.
I think that Angela Hill's got a decent shot to win. I'm just going to take women's underdog money, dude. Women's MMA is a coin flip. We've established that. Women's MMA is a coin flip. I'm taking the underdog money because I believe no matter what the odds say, last weekend, proof in the pudding, no matter what the odds say, anything can happen when two chicks start swinging on each other. The skill level is so compact. It doesn't matter. All of them are running around with salty records. And the only ones that don't have salty records yet are the ones that haven't fought enough. They fight long enough. It's all around robin. They can all beat each other at any given moment, especially the lower weight classes. Give me Angela Hill. I want her. +250.
Where do you get off, dude? Where do you get off, sir?
I'm not telling you my address.
Well, if you saw, I whipped out this pen. I started to take notes. I went full on Scott Van Pelt status for a quick second, trying to be an analyst here.
Scott Van Pelt's a terp. Let's go. I like what you did there. Go ahead.
Didn't know that. You said four names in the past 4 minutes, and you keep saying your guy, your girl. You called Luke Bonmi, Ashley Yoder, Hot Sauce Holtzby, and Jessica I, as if they're my Uriah Faber. They're my unicorn that is UFC. I hate every single one of those fighters that you said, but they're my people. They're my guys, my gals.
Yes. Yes. You picked Loma to beat Jin Yu Fry. Yeah. You consistently tell me how much you like Jessica I. You picked Hot Sauce Holtzman in his last two fights.
Great name.
You beat him, or you played him, and then who was the other one I said?
Jessica I. Don't tell me I've ever played Jessica.
No, I said Jessica I. You love Jessica I. Jessica I, Holtzy. Who was the other one? Loma Yoder. And Yoder. You literally bet on Ashley Yoder every single every single time that Ashley Yoder fights. Anybody that's listened to the show for any amount of time, if there's anybody in the live stream that has listened to our show for more than 6 months, I need you an immediate backup in the chat right now. Trey has never, never bet against Ashley Yoder in history. In history. You're always like, oh, she has high level partners. She's got a good jits game. She's got a great jits game.
Yeah.
If she can get on the ground, they call her the spider monkey for a reason. They call her the spider monkey for a reason. If she can get a hold of you, she's got a better camp. She's been working on her hands. It's all going to come together for her. I'm telling you, dude. I'm telling you.
She's a thick chick for the division, dude. Whatever. I don't care.
Yeah. She's also simultaneously 21 and 44. Also, when you look at her, you have no idea how old she is. All right. Co-main event evening, Bilal Muhammad, plus 180, Stephen Thompson, minus 220, over on rounds is at 2.5. I'm going to say it like this. Bilal Muhammad's going to win this fight at plus 180. I want Stephen Wonderboy Thompson to win this fight. I would love for him to win by devastating knockout. I would love for him to remove Bilal's gigantic nose, just take it here and move it like 7 inches to the left.
What do you have against Bilal, dude?
I don't like him at all.
Really?
I really don't. I just, he's blocked me on every social media that we've ever had. And I don't buy into him. I don't know what it is about his personality. I know that he's like very favorited by some, you know, I know Anik and all those guys, they love him and he's got his own show and they push all these things. From a fighting perspective, I like watching him fight because I like that grinder meat and potatoes style.
Yeah.
But what really started it, besides him blocking me on everything, was he's one of those guys that always feels like he's due for a fight bigger than what he is due. And the whole Leon Edwards thing, you were losing that fight, man. You were losing it. So he bitched about it for a long time, you know? Now, if he beats Wonderboy, I mean, he's going to put himself in position for a massive fight. Skill set wise, the guy's undeniably talented. I can't take anything away from him in that regard. But he just runs in that circle of dudes that all are always asking and pining for the next, like, something bigger than where they're probably at, which maybe you need to do. I can't knock the hustle. I can't knock anything that he does. There's just something with him that doesn't resonate well with me. That's really kind of, it's all personal bias. It has nothing to do analytic wise.
We always talk about Stephen Thompson being I don't want to say we call him the dark horse, but he's definitely a dark horse of the division because he's very awkward, that karate style, switching stances, throws you off your game. There's a reason no one wants to take a fight with him because you just don't look good while you're fighting him. But I always think that Wonderboy is the modern day Elias Theodoro, dude. His fights are fucking boring.
Yeah, they're super so boring. They're super boring, yeah.
And I think when you get in a stalemate type fight with Bilal, who I believe Bilal could win this fight if he fights how he used to fight, which is utilize the chain wrestling, drown someone. But he's someone that, like, the past three fights, watch him. He uses his hands way more. He's looking to stand up and bang, dude. He's trying to go freaking Lang on this, and it's not going to happen. If he wants to do that, he's going to be in for a bad result of Stephen Thompson taking off his head with some type of freaking check hook kick or some question mark shit. I don't know what the fuck the names are standing, but that's going to happen, dude.
I think that the recipe's there for that, but I think if you go back and you watch the way Gilbert Burns fought Stephen Thompson, Bilal Muhammad can execute that with greater efficiency than even Gilbert Burns was capable of doing.
Right. That's the problem.
Gilbert Burns is highly talented as well, clearly. Bilal Muhammad is able to execute that level of game plan or that type of game plan better than Gilbert. Gilbert has more to work with on the hands. So that's sort of that style of fight was a little bit more of a stretch for him, and he was still able to execute it against Wonderboy. Bilal Muhammad, that's more his fight. That's more in his wheelhouse. I think, honestly, I'm really surprised by this line. I truly am, because this is going to be in a smaller cage, and Bilal is a wrestle-heavy approach when he wants to, which has been notoriously kryptonite-like for Wonderboy. I feel like this line should be closer. I'm going to take Bilal Muhammad here. Because I'm in it to make money, and I know I'm on all dogs so far for the most part outside of Cub. But I like Bilal in this fight. I think Wonderboy, while an awkward fighter to prepare for, this is a great matchup-wise for Bilal.
I like over 2.5.
This has decision written all over it. You're absolutely right. I kind of went hard on Bilal there. That's not necessarily – I mean, I didn't mean to go that hard on him. I just was feeling a certain type of way there.
Oh, you body shame, dude. I do that all the time. But you went body more so shame. Yeah, you did. You went nose-centric, dude.
He has a gigantic – as a guy with a big nose, he has a massive nose.
Oh, I know. But you went full-on like Gonzo in the paint, dude.
That's exactly what it is. His nose looks like an uncircumcised dick stuck to his face.
Okay.
Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not, dude.
Where's producer Jake? Jake, pull me up an anteater. Show me an uncircumcised one right on the face.
Yeah, I can't.
Oh, Jake's not here. All right, we'll get our show pulled from YouTube. Don't do that, Jake. He's not here anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mom.
Speaking of circumcised.
Derek Lewis at plus 120, taking on Chris Daukaus at a minus 140 over running around here, Trey. 1.5, my man. 1.5. Okay, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it because you're going to say it. I consistently bet against the Daukaus brothers. I consistently lose money. Derek Lewis.
I'm the same thing with Derek Lewis.
You consistently bet against Derek Lewis and you consistently lose money.
Yes.
I feel like we have to take Derek Lewis here.
Oh my God. No, absolutely not.
Why?
You have some weird thing with the Daukaus brothers. I get that. But no, no.
No, we're taking Daukaus?
You're chasing a unicorn here. The one punch knockout power of Derek Lewis versus a BJJ black belt. I'm sorry. The best blue belt in Texas in Derek Lewis cannot fare on the ground like Chris Daukaus. Also, cardio perspective, two totally different spectrums. Derek Lewis has zero cardio tank. Chris Daukaus is someone that throws a lot of volume, moves around the cage, and he's durable. So when you look at the ground, the standing, the cardio, like unless you're getting this crazy unicorn knockout, why? Why would I risk it? And if I'm getting it at minus 140, I actually feel like it's a fantastic price. That is 100% based on quality of competition that the line's that close. But skill set, absolutely not. No.
How is Daukaus beating Derek Lewis?
Oh my God, dude! Like
he's going to be out. He's going to give up 30 pounds come fight night.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Okay, so what is he going to beat him by decision?
No.
Okay, well, how's he going to beat him?
He's going to beat him by submission.
He's going to take down Derek Lewis and submit him.
Derek Lewis has been on his back before.
I understand that. That's not what I'm asking you. Are you saying that Chris Daukaus is going to submit Derek Lewis?
Yes.
I can't. That's
it's going to be some. It's not going to be like a rear naked choke. It's going to be some fat arm over neck arm triangle. That's from side control.
You mean like what Alexei Oleinik tried and Derek Lewis just sat there and didn't do it? You mean you mean the boa constrictor? You mean Alexei Oleinik with what 40 career submissions? You think that Chris Daukaus is going to be able to accomplish what Alexei Oleinik, 70 fight veteran Alexei Oleinik couldn't do? You think Chris Daukaus is going to do that? You think retired Philadelphia police officer Chris Daukus is going to do that?
Yes, absolutely.
I can't. No. No, Derek Lewis is going to knock him out.
I'm going to say, I bit my tongue, dude. I almost went so bad down a horrible road. After the cop thing, he said, never mind, dude. Fuck, we're going to get so, never mind. God damn it. This margarita's hitting the spot, dude.
You want me to sit? You want to sit here? You want to let it out?
I'm not going to let it out. No way. No, the history, everything of our entire account will get stripped. Absolutely not.
All right. We're this close to being monetized on YouTube, so don't screw that up for us with your crazy talk.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of which, did you see that Facebook admitted that their fact checkers were actually just opinions? Like there were the third party sources they used were just opinionated. Like we all knew that. But like they testified as such.
I didn't think it was that we didn't know. I just think it was like personal bias on the other side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But what's really freaking me out is this whole meta universe. I still don't understand it. It sounds like we're all going to live in some world.
They're just talking about it like it's real, almost like an NFT. It makes no sense to me. It's all just made up. Maybe I'm old and that's why it doesn't make sense anymore. All right.
Because you're old.
Let's flip this thing back the way we always do.
Yep.
First fight on the prelims, Matt Sales at 8-3, taking on Jordan Leavitt at 8-1. I'm going to let you talk about this fight because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I am not going to bet on this fight at all. I have no play here. And the reason why I have no play here is because I believe that Chris Tognoni will be the referee for this fight. And we have seen, because I've been keeping track, that when Chris Tognoni is the referee of the very first fight on the card, I finish at 49% on average.
Yeah.
So I am not playing this fight because I am afraid that Chris Tognoni is going to curse me. And I don't know how to get away from him. I don't know how to reverse this. So what I'm going to do is I'm completely taking this first fight off. And then I'm going to make a prop play on the second fight in case it happens to be a Mark Smith, Chris Tognoni flip-flop.
Okay.
The wild card in here is whether or not Mike Beltran's working this weekend. He may be. I'm going to shoot him a message on Instagram. We're going to find out whether or not he's working.
That'd be sick.
Yeah, because we need to figure out if he's in the play. Because if he's in play, we have to figure out the bout order on who's doing what.
Yeah.
But Tognoni will be there within the first three fights. I don't know where he's falling. Chances are it's going to be the first, the second fight.
But I actually like that, dude. And obviously I hate Chris Tognoni, but what I like about it is this right here is a typical striker versus grappler affair. And what's good about that is I was already thinking about playing this inside the distance because you're either going to get Jordan Leavitt, who's great on the ground, great grappler, going to go for a submission, or you're going to get Matt Sales, who's great striking, is going to go for a KO. And when you throw Chris in the mix, premature stoppages, whatever you want to call it, a lot of this is leaning to submission, KO, early stoppage. So I like inside the distance for a plethora of reasons. And, you know, at almost a pick 'em, it's a coin flip. Do you like the grappler? Do you like the striker? I'm going to go inside the distance. I like that. This is a fair play.
Okay. For reasons just explained, I won't say anything here.
Yes.
All right. Next fight. Dontale Mays taking on Josh Parisian. Parisian at 14-4. Dontale Mays at 8-4. I'm going to take an inside the distance play here. Very vanilla, will be very minus money. But here's my breakdown on this. Dontale Mays is not a UFC caliber fighter.
Here's Josh Parisian.
I 100% agree with you, but Dontale Mays is more not a UFC caliber fighter than Josh Parisian is.
That's because, but he's young. He's evolving.
Is he though? Is he evolving? Like
I think so.
Really?
He's young. He's green. He's raw. He's aligned himself with a better camp. He's strong. He comes in and he's fucking balls the wall the first round, which makes me think that, okay, that line's a little wonky. It shouldn't be that heavy because Josh Parisian can get this done. You can get it done by decision. The over under at 2.5 is 1,000% put there for Josh Parisian because Josh is a guy that's all volume, works from distance, circles the cage. That jibbly jumbly belly is going to keep moving around, try and get this thing to a decision over 2.5 if you're going to play with Josh, but Dontell's all round one or bust. And I think that, yeah, he's raw. So if you're going to play it, play Dontell by KO in round one. Anything after that, the volume's going to come from Josh, and he could probably get it done by decision.
Both of these dudes, their most recent win was against the same guy, Rocky Martinez, which is interesting. Mays is going to be 30, so I don't necessarily want to call him. I don't think he's that young anymore. From heavyweight perspective, he is, because heavyweights, as you know, fight well into their 40s. You say he's evolving. I don't see it. You say he's getting better. I don't see that either. I just see a guy that has one path to victory. And I know it's a heavyweight fight, but 2.5, Vegas is feeling like this is going over a round. And if it goes outside of a round, it's Parisian. So Parisian plus money, that's the way I feel about it. Again, the prop play, because I'm just playing a prop, is I'm going to take it inside the distance. It's going to be, like I said, it's going to be mighty, mighty chalky, but I got to get away from Chris Tognoni for right now.
Get away from him.
I got to figure out a way to do it. Hopefully the new year will bring something new. All right. Speed this thing up. Raquel Pennington at 12-9, taking on Macy Chasson. We've been corrected. Macy Chasson.
No, I'm going to call her Chasson.
It should be Chasson. She's from Louisiana. And that says Chasson, because it should be Creole, and it's not. She wants to go with Chasson. Anyway, plus 140, Raquel Pennington coming in at a minus 170 over on their own rounds of 2.5. You and I have already broken this fight down 17 different times.
Yeah.
I'm on Macy. You're on Raquel. Is there anything else you want to add to this?
I don't know, dude. The separation thing.
The separation thing. Yeah. Do we go against the women's coin flip / science doctrine and go with the newly established, recently divorced women?
I think what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to go into Instagram and see if Raquel still follows. Put a poll.
She follows her. She'll follow her. Like when Tisha will post something, she'll be like, good job, baby girl.
So there's still some connection there.
Well, they communicate.
I know, but I feel like there should be, you know, much like Cheyenne Baez, there needs to be severed ties. She said messy divorce. I need a messy divorce to lay my money down. If there's still a little bit of like, I may be in the friend zone. Hey, we get a little drunk. We do some things. Then I'm not about it. So I think I'll ride Macy with you. Women's science, dude. Sure. If it was a messy divorce, I'd go. Yeah.
Can we put it to a poll? Do we want to do the women's? We'll put a poll. We'll put up women's science or the recently divorced theory.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay.
Gotcha.
But we're going to take Macy because of science, right?
Probably. Yeah. Just because, I mean, we have to, but we should see what people believe stronger in at this point. Okay.
Yeah.
Charles Jourdain taking on Andre Yule, 17-8 for Andre Yule, 11-4 for Charles Jourdain.
Oh, boy.
Again, back to back Mickey Mouse's. Andre Yule. Oh, that's right. Because of his hair. That's right. That's where
I always do that. Andre Yule's hair looks like Mickey Mouse's ears.
It's true. It's a good point. Plus 155 for Yule. Charles Jourdain minus 190. I think a lot of money's going to come in on Jourdain. I think a lot of people are going to use him. He consistently draws a minus number and consistently becomes any capper that we follow, anybody that touts picks, anything like that. Everybody really loves Charles Jourdain. I don't know what it is. I think there's just this underlying idea that he's like next in line, that he could really be something fantastic. But he got choked by our boy Juicy J.
But then he won.
Well, no, the Arosa fight was his most recent fight.
Yeah, and he won.
No, Juicy J choked him unconscious.
No.
Yes.
No. Jourdain's got 100% finish rate, dude. You forgot about that fight. Juicy J had the choke, but then didn't close it, and Jourdain came back and won that fight.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I don't want to argue with you. That's not what happened.
Yeah, dude.
Julian Arosa choked him out with a Darce choke.
No.
Yes, he did. In the third round. Yes, he did.
No.
Trey, I love you, but you're wrong here.
Pull up the resume, dude. You're wrong.
Hold on.
Pull it up.
Hold on.
While you're pulling that up, I will say this. I'm a little bit worried about – I've constantly faded Andre Yule because I don't think he's a good fighter at all. I think he's a piece of shit. Fighter. Good, might be a good human, not a good fighter. Him moving up to 145, though, breathes new life. He's someone who notoriously did not have a good cardio tank. I don't know if putting on 10 pounds technically gives you a better cardio tank, but I do think that it might breed new life. Really? Why do I think that that was different, dude? Is that right?
That is right.
What?
Yeah, bro. I'm telling you. You're trying to go tit for tat with the encyclopedias. It's not the way it works.
What the fuck? What am I thinking of right now?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Damn it.
For some weird reason, I thought he had that choke in, and then Jordan won that fight. Why am I thinking? I don't know. I'm drunk.
Yeah, I just I understand what you're saying, but you're wrong. Andre Yule is also not going to win this fight. So Charles Jourdain.
All right, that's fair.
So let's just stop sharing that. There we go. We'll go back to this. All right.
Cool.
We'll go both on Jourdain. All right. So Jarre Eubanks taking on Melissa Gatto. Gatto at 7-0. So Jarre Eubanks at 7-6. We always consistently bet on Sarge, but here's the thing, Trey, is she's minus money now. She's minus 165 taking on the undefeated Melissa Gatto.
Is she in charge?
Plus 135. Is Sarge in charge come Saturday night?
She's 36. I
mean, we always bet on Sarge. She's like our name another fighter out there that we've made more money on than Sajara Eubanks.
Faber.
Not true. Not true. Sarge in charge wins us money all the time.
I know. She looks good at 125.
Like Sarge wins us money. Vince Pichel wins us money. Darren Elkins always wins us money.
This is a tough one though, dude. Gatto looks good. She's got great BJJ, which, you know, that's what I love.
Sarge is a world champion.
I know, but that's what people are fear. They fear her in that department. I don't think Gatto's going to fear her. And I think from the feet perspective, Gatto's going to have that boxy, rangy style, which Eubanks is always trying to dive for a leg and try and get in half guard and implement some ground and pound. Gatto's position driven, which I really like. She's really calm in the pocket. I just think I'm going Eubanks on this, dude. I'm sorry. I can't go plus money. I can't go women's underdog on this one because the Apex cage suits Sajara's freaking style.
I just feel like she's like unofficially like part of Team Punch List. Like I just can't go against Sarge at this point.
Yeah, she's like, in charge.
At this point, she's family. Like we've never had her on. We should try to have her on the show. I don't know if she knows how much we love her.
Well, I don't know if she knows how to speak English.
Sajara Eubanks?
Can she speak English?
I'm pretty sure she was in the military, was she not? Isn't like this... You have this really great ability at times to make me feel like I don't know things, and I feel like I know a lot of things, and then you do stuff that makes me feel like I don't know what I know that I know in my heart.
She sounds like she was in the military.
Well, I know we go with the Sarge thing, but I thought like she 100% speaks English. So let's just get past that.
Where's she from?
She's from the United States of America.
So that would make sense that she could speak English. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Maybe less Cutwaters, but maybe we don't do shows at 10 o'clock anymore.
It's too late, dude.
It's way too late. All right, let's get through these. Justin Toffa, Harry Hunsucker. Hunsucker, that's his actual name. 7-4. That's his real name, God given. It's on his birth certificate.
No way.
Justin Toffa at 4-3. Hunsucker at 7-4. Boys, a clash of titans. Change the odds here so I can go ahead and say take Toffa plus money.
You're joking.
Taking Toffa plus money.
Dude, you know what you just said? What fighters do we always bet on that we make a ton of money? I have consistently made probably more money fading Justin Toffa than I had any other fighter. 1,000%. Justin Toffa sucks, dude. Like, I have four notes on my sheet over here that I'm looking at. for this entire card. And one of them, I'm not kidding, says Taffa, piece of shit, 1-3.
Okay.
That's all it says.
All right, fair enough.
And his one win, Juan Adams. I'm sorry, Dale, is Juan Adams still in the UFC?
He's not, but he's a large man. Harry Hunsucker, very large man. Justin Taffa does very well against very big dudes.
Justin Taffa is good at just powder puffing in rounds 2 and 3. If you're going to play this, play Harry Hunsucker money line or play him round 1, because round 2 and round 3, that fat Taffa is going to just freaking pillow touch Henry Hunsucker, dude.
Harry Hunsucker has lost to Dontell Mays, who I've already said I don't like. And then he lost to Jared Vanderaa, but he most recently got knocked out by Tai Tuivasa. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you this right now. If you put Tai Tuivasa and Justin Taffa side by side, Harry Hunsucker can't tell them apart. And he's going to go out there. He's going to go out there and he's going to think that he's fighting Tai Tuivasa again. And it's going to be the same result. He's getting slept.
Dude, Justin Taffa is like 5'4" and he's also like 22 years old.
What?
I was going to blow your mind. Justin Taffa is the oldest looking young dude on the planet.
He's 28.
Yeah, baby.
And he's 6 foot tall.
Yeah. Small for heavyweight.
You literally called him 5'4" and 20 years old. He's 28 and 6 foot tall. And he's
fat.
No, he's I can't with you. I fucking can't. I can't. You gotta stop calling people pieces of shit too. Here's a fun fact. Those of you that don't know, there's a video of us on YouTube that's gotten 50 times more views than anything we've ever done. But it's a clip of our show that somebody else took and put on their channel that has a much larger audience than us. And it's got just a stupid amount of views. Whereas we don't see
the Makhachev Dober thing.
It's the Makhachev Dober thing. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So what I'm saying is at a certain point, whenever you lead in with people and I'm like, hey, how do you feel about this fight? And you're like, this person's an absolute piece of shit. at a certain point, somebody's going to see that. Somebody's going to see that I said that Bilal Muhammad looks like he has an uncircumcised dick on his face. So we need to decide today, December 16th at 11:13 PM Eastern Standard Time. Do we care about this or not? Because if we don't care about that, I'm just going to keep encouraging you to call people pieces of shit and we'll just deal with it where we can. But we probably should decide whether or not we're cool with guys like Justin Taffa eventually finding out that you're literally the four show notes that you have, all of which are discouraging towards Justin Taffa.
Dale, worst case, if I meet him in person, I'll just casually jog away.
You'll pull guard.
You'll jog away. I'll throw a cheeseburger in the other direction.
Fair enough. All right, man. Let's just rip the Band-Aid off. Get after it. Just jog in the other direction. I bet you he's quick, dude. I bet you he's got good foot speed.
I'll briskly walk, dude, in the other direction.
Right. Honey Barcelos at 16-2, taking on Victor Henry at 21-5. You sent me a text earlier that said that you were going to take Victor Henry at +265 over Honey Barcelos, and I think that's probably one of the dumbest things you've ever texted me before. How on earth do you justify this in your mind? I'm not even going to break this fight down because Honey Barcelos is going to murder this man, but tell me how you think Victor Henry is going to win this fight.
Well, dude, people think that Honey Barcelos has been around for a really long time and he's seen the game. Dude, Victor has actually fought for a longer time than Honey has. And then not even just that, Victor's a better striker. Yes, it's his UFC debut, but this is perfect. I love UFC debuts in the Apex because it goes back to olden times. It goes back to the amateur circuit. It's right back into your environment. Honey does everything good. He's a meat and potatoes fighter, but Victor's going to have better striking. Now, this is a spot that I'm really excited about because at plus 265, I'm going to wait because I think more money is going to come in Hani because people just don't know who Victor is. No one's seen tape on him. I have, and his striking is good, and it's devastating. And I think this is going to be a statement win for him in the UFC.
Okay.
I'm taking it, dude.
I can't wait to be proven wrong. I hope you're right.
Thank you.
Nothing would make listen. I say this all the time. I want you to come out here and be convicted on your plus money plays and then smack it, because then people that listen to the show or watch go, damn.
Smack it.
I also think Hani Barcelos is a monster. So Victor Henry, if he goes out there and gets a win, you make a believer out of me beating a guy like that.
It's gonna be Chris Curtis shit all over again, dude.
Here we go. Here's two guys that lose us money all the time fighting each other. So how do we make money? Gerard Meerschaert at 33-14, taking on Dustin Stoltzfus at 13-3. Both of these guys owe me money just turning in dog shit performance after dog shit performance, or winning fights that they have no business winning. So plus 195 on Stoltzfus, Meerschaert at minus 235. Explain to me how we don't get a draw here.
That's a great play. I am fully throwing a couple bucks down on draw. Damn, dude.
Or a no contest, because something always weird happens with Meerschaert. He gets poked in the eye, kicked in the dick. Something happens. It's always something weird. No contest, draw. Do it.
I can't bet on Meerschaert, dude. I think the guy has a glass chin. Unfortunately, his stylistic approach has been take one to hopefully get to a takedown and then use his high level BJJ. I don't trust his chin to get where he wants to be on the ground. Dustin, yeah, he's lost his last couple fights, but let's look at the way he lost and who he's lost to. He lost to Rodolfo Vieira by submission. Okay. Unless you're freaking Fluffy and apparently you're the greatest jiu-jitsu master of all time and you're able to submit Rodolfo. The Rodolfo's only way to get it done is by submission. He's one of the greatest ever. And then when you look at the Dawkins brother that he lost to, Kyle's been on a freaking tear, dude. So like momentum plus freaking amazing jiu-jitsu. Yes, it sucks that he lost those, but they're justified losses. I don't think that Gerald Meerschaert has a chin. I don't think his losses have been truly justified. I also don't think he has a winning mentality. I think he's a fucking quitter. And I say that because if you go and look at the guy that they're touting as the next big thing in the UFC, knocking him out, deer headlights, in the cage, back, I'm over it, dude.
Oh, you're talking about Hosmat. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So Stoltzfus, accomplished submission artist. Meerschaert, accomplished submission artist. If this stays standing, it favors Stoltzfus.
Yes.
Which is weird, because usually when both guys are submission threats, that's what we see, is it become a stand-up affair.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, I think he has the advantage over Meerschaert, don't you?
I agree. Yeah.
Meerschaert's hands are not good.
No, not at all.
Plus 195. We're on a ton of dogs here. You realize that, right? Like most of the fights that you and I have talked about, we're on dogs.
It's a Christmas present.
Parlay them all together?
Yep.
You think
I just went to Disneyland, dude. I am in debt.
Yeah, you're broke. Yeah, you're broke.
Yeah.
Dude, so all right. Let's see here. Let me see here. Jordan Leavitt, Matt Sales, we're not playing, but you're on inside the distance there?
Yes.
Dante Mays, Josh Parisian. I'm on Parisian, you're on Mays.
Yes.
No, we're on inside the distance. I'm on inside the distance.
Well, yeah, okay.
Okay. All right. Chaisson and Pennington, we're on Chaisson.
Yes.
That's an underdog. Jourdain Ewell, I'm on Jourdain.
Yeah, same.
Okay, that's minus money. And Sarge Melissa Gatto?
We're taking Sarge, dude. We have
okay,
to take Sarge.
Again, minus money. And then Toffa Hunsucker.
We're taking Hunsucker.
Okay. Barcelos versus Henry.
Henry, which is plus.
Plus 270. And Hunsucker's plus 260. Meerschaert Stoltzfus, you're at plus 190.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. I gotta pull the book up because this is gonna be the craziest Trey Van Buskirk parlay that's ever existed in the history of mankind.
Yeah, I feel like we should all just play it, you know?
Okay, so all right, so we're gonna take Sales Leavitt inside the distance.
Yep.
Parisian Mays inside the distance.
Yep.
Chason.
Yep.
Jourdain.
Yep.
Sarge.
In charge.
Hunsucker.
Yeah.
Victor Henry.
Fuck yeah.
And Stoltzfus.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the Trey Van Buskirk prelim parlay. $10 will win you $1,400.
What does $50 get you?
Well, that's going to be some simple math, but we'll just go ahead and do it like this. $50 Trey is going to, oh gosh, wait a second. Oh no.
Oh man. I wonder if
oh no. No, it caps it out.
J-cap. Really?
Because it's plus 75,000. So my bookie won't let you do insane odds like that. So somebody with a better book than that. So plus 75,687.
Dude, this is what I'm talking about, dude. This is the man not letting me eat, dude. You know what I mean?
That's it. Yeah, they're capping you out at a $1,500 victory here.
It's the government.
It's the government?
Yeah, it's Fauci fucking blocking my bets, dude.
It is. Yeah, so plus 75,007. That's a big ass bet, man. Plus 75,687.
That'll be the punchless.
I can't be right. That fucking cannot be right. Am I doing this right? We're a betting show, and I feel like I'm not doing that right. Why? It's the odds are so high that my bookie is like not doing it. Like they're just like, hey, I don't like that.
There's no way that's too high for my bookie.
I'm telling you,
they operate out of freaking Costa Rica.
So $756.87 for every $1 you put up. Yeah. Yeah, so that's
what
right.
That? What is that?
If you put a dollar in on that parlay, you'll win $756.87.
Okay. So 756 times 50. You're telling me it's capping me out at $37,000.
That's what it should be. But my bookie's only going to let you, that's going to cap you at $1,500. So if you were to play that on my bookie, you would win $1,500 on what should be a $37,000 hit for the trade prelim parlay. Now, that being said, I would vary on this ever so slightly. I would take Hani over Victor Henry, and I would take Toffa over Hunsucker. So I would go inside, Chason, Charles Jourdain, Sarge. I'm on Toffa. I'm on Barcelos. And we're going to take Stoltzfus. And I'm going to go. Now that is plus 9,000. So it's $96 for every dollar. So it's considerably more palatable.
So clearly this is the last UFC card of the entire year. So I feel like in the spirit of giving and the spirit of miracles, we just have to do parlays this entire weekend.
So let's do, let's do this. Let's. I want the full 37 though. If we win.
Me too. I don't know.
I've got so bet on. Let me see if Bet Online will increase me because I think they might cap me.
I know a guy at my bookie. I'll just email his personal email's info@mybookie.co.
Yeah, that guy.
.ag. Yeah, that guy. I'll shoot him a note. Yeah. I'll tell him to expand the credit limit.
All right, let's do. So we'll bring back the people's parlay, but it will already be decided. We'll do your prelim parlay. We'll do my prelim parlay.
And then we're going to do the people's main event
parlay.
I'm taking Elkins. You're taking Swanson.
Oh, we're doing that for the people's main event?
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right.
Cool.
Come Swanson.
Bang, bang.
Bang, bang. All right. Anything else you want to add to the people?
Nope.
All right, cool. Let's get out of here. Appreciate everybody that tuned in. This was a weird week. I thought this was going to be the last episode of the year. It's not. You've already informed me of that. So we'll be back next week or the week after. Stay tuned for that. We've got a couple polls coming up on Instagram. Pay attention for those. Vote accordingly. And then if you haven't already done so, I'll leave you with this. Please consider buying the shirt. If you buy the shirt, 100% of the cost of the shirt is going to the Red Cross of Kentucky to help the folks there that were affected by the tornadoes last week. Every dollar, not to mention every dollar that goes to it, will be matched dollar for dollar by Trey and I. So if you want to buy 10 shirts, you will essentially be locking Trey and I into contributing the amount of $10 or 10 shirts with you to match. So something to consider. Go to legionsclothing.com, use promo code PUNCH, and save 15% site-wide. Be good to each other. We'll see you guys this weekend.
Bye. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.